Thank you for tuning in to WPVMLP Asheville, North Carolina, 103.7, streaming online, WPVMFM.org, the voice of Asheville, heard all over the world.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Clear skies across the area this weekend with gusty winds and increased fire danger. Highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s and lows in the lower 30s to low 40s. We'll start to warm back up on Monday with plenty of sunshine. Highs reaching the lower 70s, not as cool Monday night, lows in the lower 50s, sun and clouds on Tuesday with highs in the mid-70s. I'm Johnny Cottle on Radio Asheville 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, a syndicated radio talk show host, retired Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Dawn broadcasts on the Pacifica Network and WPVM-FM LP 103.7 Radio Asheville. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern.
And welcome back. So glad to be back with you. If it's your first time, we're glad to have you on the show. Today, I have Kirsten Austin all the way from St. Louis. And I met her because I put a challenge out. I put a challenge out on social media, on LinkedIn, to have people come forward that could talk about courage, resiliency, because during this time, we live in a world that is really divided, whether it's politics, whether it's religion, whether it's, you know, principal beliefs, everybody's belief system's different. But how do we get through every day? Right now, you know, prices are going sky high in many different areas, whether it's a home, whether it's gasoline. Kirsten, what makes you so resilient?
Well, Dawn, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your radio show. I appreciate it. I think what makes me resilient is a practice. I think it's very much kind of like we talked about before, that happiness is also a practice. Same thing with resilience. We all have hard times. And yes, I actually filled up my truck yesterday and it was $117. So,
wow.
Yes. So yes, we definitely, the economy moves up and down, politics moves up and down, leadership moves up and down. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed that our world has become very divided. And I remember growing up and not living in a world like we do today. And I think that it's very positive that you have a program to address this, because people are people. Everyone wants to pay their bills, take care of their family, mm-hmm. fall in love, do the things they want to do in life. And sometimes there are traumatic events that try to pull you away or pull you down. And you have to just get through those. So at my age right now, I've learned that in order to be resilient, you definitely have to take care of your mental health. It's very important. Mm-hmm. As much as I love social media, I take a sabbatical from it on the weekends. I don't go on to social media. Partially,
wow.
I gotta
jump in. How do you do that? Because people want to know. How are you able to discipline yourself, Kirsten?
It's easier to do it in the spring, summer, and fall because I do a lot of hiking and a lot of camping. And some of the places that I go to, I can't even use my phone. So that's that, that makes it easier. When I can use my phone, of course, you know, I'll check it, you know, a text to make sure there's no emergencies, you know, they come up with friends or my brother or the business, but I really just force myself, you know, I just don't log on to the internet. I don't want to. I read books, the old fashioned kind that you actually turn the pages. I walk. I do projects around the house, or you know, I hike or take a trip. I have to. I just force myself to stay off social media. It's as positive as it is, it can be equally as negative, and it can be depressing at times as well.
You know, that makes me wonder too. You know, people get on there and I think they just habitually compare themselves, their lives to, oh my God, this person's always on vacation, you know, or this person just brought a brand new expensive, we drive trucks. I heard you say you drive a truck. I drive a truck too. I've never put that much gas in my truck though. Wow.
I mean, granted, I was way below E, but I mean, I wanted a free t-shirt or something. I was like, whoa, that's a lot of money to fill her up.
That is crazy. Well, listeners are probably wondering, who are you? Give us a little background about you, your personal, you know, what do you do, the kind of work, you know, why do you feel that you're so resilient? I'll give you a few minutes to talk.
Thank you so much again for allowing me on your show and to introduce myself. I'm the president of a company, DCSC. And we are a technology company that works with manufacturing companies and distribution companies. And we've been around for over 30 years. I was one of the founders. So, you know, we actually implement ERP systems. So that's enterprise resource planning. That's where people do their accounting, control their inventory, their order entry, their production, if they're in manufacturing. We are a software developer. So we wrote a warehouse management solution called DC Warehouse, and that's scanning. So instead of hand keying in information into your computer, you basically are using a wireless device to scan a barcode and update everything in real time. And then we also work with all of the carriers, and we provide functionality for our clients to be able to shop for rates. So if they want to ship products out to their customer, they can see who's going to be the cheapest. And then they can also look at data such as if they need to get something out lickety-split, which freight company or which parcel company can ship this out the fastest and get it there quick. So, you know, we work with all sorts of companies all over North America, and it's a great industry. I love it. I love what I learn every day. Technology is ever changing, but you do definitely have to be resilient, because these are big projects that we get involved in, and we are revolutionizing the way people operate their companies. So there's a lot to it. And, you know, having a very, very good attitude and being fair and, you know, getting everybody to hop on board so the projects go well, you know, is all wrapped up into being resilient and not letting setbacks get you down or personalities or, you know, challenges, et cetera.
Yeah, that everything that you just said sounded so huge and so overwhelming. That's a lot of responsibility. You know, what would you say are your challenges in your job that, you know, that you've got to stay resilient? What are some of the challenges that you go through?
My biggest challenge, and I know this sounds crazy, and I'm not going to call any companies out, but the way that I run my company is we are all a team. Mm-hmm. We all serve the customer. The customer is the most important thing. That is why our bills are paid. And, you know, we put ourselves in the shoes of our customers. And, you know, we are definitely sensitive to their needs. We're very responsive. But it seems like a lot of the frustration that I have, talk about being resilient, is when we have to contact another company. So we, you know, let's say we interface into another software, but we're waiting on an answer from someone on their end. You know, to me, the whole pass the buck mentality is, you know, not from our team, but from other teams, it's excruciating. And so remaining professional and polite and getting those answers from other people or getting teams to work together, or, you know, that is probably the most challenging part about my job. You know, it's also challenging, you know, to have a great team. Right now, I love my team. They're the team that can take me to the Super Bowl. But it is hard growing and finding those good team members and people that fit in with your culture. So that's probably the couple challenges that I think that I deal with, definitely.
And how many people, Kirsten, is in your company, your organization?
We have a little over 10 people in our company.
10 people. Yeah. And you say you've been going how many years?
Over 30 years.
Wow. How did the idea to do this come up? I mean, did you just all of a sudden have a dream, woke up? Oh, hey, I got an idea. How'd it come up?
I actually went to school to be a graphic artist. And I knew nothing about computer systems as they are today. So basically, the first few jobs that I had as an artist, I thought I was going to be in a more creative position. And to be honest with you, I was really bored. I was just cleaning up other people's logos, and it just wasn't a lot of fun for me. So, you know, a friend of mine started this business. He was a co-founder, and I said, "Look, I will work with you for a couple of years and get us off the ground, and then probably do something else." But now, I'm still here after 30 years. So, you know, just I love manufacturing and distribution. It's always been a love of mine. I love to see how things are made. Manufacturers are kind of like artists, you know. I mean, I love to see different products, and I've walked so many different plants, and you know, distribution and logistics, that's also interesting. I mean, it is a lot. But, you know, if you can imagine all of the people that touch things behind the scenes before they arrive at your doorstep, it's huge. So there's a lot of inner workings to it.
You have 10 people. That's a lot of responsibility. How do you keep your team resilient? Because let's face it, life happens, you know. Somebody gets pregnant and they need to be out because of pregnancy. Somebody's wife gets cancer, or husband, partner, you know, has a chronic. How do you keep the team resilient? Because every day life happens.
That is such a good question. It is a wonderful question. So I mean, I you know, don't want to get emotional on your show, but alone, I can give you examples of my own life. You know, tragedies happen. Last year, I lost my boyfriend suddenly to a motorcycle accident. And let me tell you, my team stepped to the plate. I was devastated. I was grief stricken. You know, and it was a terrible time, but I just, out of respect for me, my team, they came up to a level that they have stayed at. And it was because of respect. And the same thing with how I feel about my team. I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, your work isn't your family, but it really is your family when you think about it. You see these people a lot, you know, you talk to them every day, you work on projects together. I have a great amount of respect for everyone on my team. And we all respect one another's fact that we have families. We have tragedies that happen. People can get sick. But we make a plan for it. And, then, you know, when we make a plan for it, you know, we decide, hey, are we going to split responsibilities? Who's going to take over this? We just work together. We work together as if we were brothers and sisters, or I'm very motherly. To me, my employees, they probably don't want this, but to me, they're my kids, you know, they're my children. So I treat them as such.
Where do you hope to go with your company in the next 5 to 10 years, Kirsten?
Right now, I don't want to give all my secrets away, but we are taking on another product line, and I really like that product. And what I would like to do is create another software like I did for Sage 500, and the name of our software is DC Warehouse. I'd like to create that for that product line, and I think it's going to be just a beautiful solution for manufacturers and distributors. So, we're onboarding with that product. And because of that, we're gonna have to grow a little bit. We're gonna add some team members here, hopefully in the next year. But I think that's gonna give us a lot of strength. And then hopefully after 5 years, I'm 57, I can semi-retire, so I can, you know, take more hiking trips and pass the torch to some of the folks here. So that's the goal.
You know, one of the biggest things that comes up, especially for women, and because, you know, I'm a coach, a life coach, and I've worked a lot with women, is that they have a hard time with not burning out, especially when they're an entrepreneur like yourself, Kirsten. Do you have any tips of what works for you so that you know there's going to be days that are going to be hard, but how do you keep yourself from burning out? And, you know,
that is such a good question. And, I've actually been on a couple of different podcasts where they asked me, but the truth of the matter is I am very, very cognizant. I know this sounds goofy. I mean, I've got a few bad habits too, but from one standpoint is I walk every single day. I get out of my office. I even do it when it's snowing, when it's icy. I walk real slow when I do that. Yeah. But I go out with my dog every single day, listen to music, don't take business calls during that amount of time. Every once in a while, I do a quick shout out for business, kill two birds with one stone, maybe once in a while. But in general, I do that. I also go hiking. And if I can't find a friend to go with me, I'll do it myself. I think it was in 2015 or 2016. And I hiked the Grand Canyon. I did 12 miles and I did that on my own. I had to condition myself to be able to do the specific hike I did. It was fun. It was beautiful. I definitely like to get out in nature. I have friends that I go camping with and we have such a good time. And we do the real camping, the pitch your tents. Have the campfire, cook the great food over that, you know, and spending time with friends and being out in nature, you know, they really help you from a mental standpoint because, you know, you do burn out. Men and women, you know, both burn out. The other thing that I have learned, and it took me a long time to get there, is to say no. I can't do everything for everyone. You know, in my 20s, I worked two jobs. I waited tables at night while I was building this company. You know, I helped anybody if they needed help moving. I volunteered at various places, and I can't even believe I did all of that. In my 50s, I kind of learned to slow down a little bit. It's a beautiful thing. You know, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not feeling it. You know, I have friends who will be like, hey, do you want to go out tonight? And no. I mean, ask me again. But no, just not feeling it. Want to go home? Want to read a book? You know, want to play with my dog? Just won't do it. So being very careful with your time and treating yourself really well are very, very important to not burning out. And I think that a lot of people burn themselves out because they constantly are on social media and they hear the ding, ding, ding. And then there's arguments out there, which it's like, don't argue with people on social media. It's just silly. If somebody's thought process is a certain way, you know, one argument is not going to change that. And then you see the people that you have to understand, they're only posting the good things up there. Look at my beautiful life. Look at my beautiful house. Look at this delicious hamburger I'm going to eat. You know, they don't post some of the struggles that they have and, you know, talk about, you know, grief or talk about struggles that they're having, you know, in their relations or with work, et cetera. So, you know, I think not comparing yourself to others, you know, work on yourself first. That helps you.
I like how you said that, work on yourself first, because I know back in 2014, I was becoming a life coach with IPEC, and that's it, Kirsten. You first start working on yourself before you start working with other clients on whatever their agenda is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you woke up and you're having a bad day, just woke up and maybe you slept wrong, how do you reframe your day? How do you reframe it so you can move forward?
That is such a funny question, Dawn. I don't know, some kind of synchronicity is happening right now. I mentioned this on social media one day. But when I was real young, my mom was a stickler on having a good attitude. And, you know, we talk, the women today talk about adjusting your crown. Back then when my mom was raising me, you know, she said, watch your words, watch your actions, watch how you carry yourself. And there's one particular time where I was walking down the stairs. I was in a bad mood. You know, I was 15 at the time. I think everybody was in a bad mood when they were 15. And she said, Kirsten, no, you turn around, you come back downstairs. So I'm like, Mom, are you serious? So I went back up, tried again. She's like, pull your shoulders back, lift your chin up, put a smile on your face. And the third time I pretended to fall down the stairs and made her laugh. And she goes, okay, one last time. And I came down one last time. And she's like, there you go. So I think of that in my head all the time. And there certainly are days that I've woken up and maybe they had a headache or I was worried about something. But what I really do is I try to reframe those negative thoughts into something positive and say, okay, you know, I have to, you know, have a hard call with somebody today. You know, I reframe it and say, you know, I get to talk to someone and possibly resolve something today. You know, I say, oh, gosh, yeah, I don't even feel like working today because I have those days. You know, and I say, you know what? I'm going to go camping next weekend. So let's just get this over with. Let's go to work and let's do the best we can. So when you start off with a bad attitude, the only person that can change it is yourself. You can't rely on anybody to change your attitude. And that, you know, being responsible and accountable for your own behavior It's like a muscle. You must practice it every day. Just like resilience, you have to practice it every day. Just like happiness. Happiness is a choice. You have to practice it every day. So, I hope I answered your question. I got a little ADHD on you.
So I want to ask you, Kirsten, where does courage come in to all of this? Courage.
Oh, that is a great question. Fear is debilitating. Fear is not good for men or for women. Courage is sticking up for people when it's the right thing to do. Courage is learning, to choose your battles, because you don't always want to be battling the universe, because you could if you wanted to. But courage is, if someone, is bringing your team down and your team's doing everything right, you need to stick up for your team. And I always stick up for my team. Same thing with my customers. If something's going on in the outside world and we're waiting on an answer, to me, I'm going to stick up for my customer, and I'm going to be like a dog with a bone until I get what I need for my customers. So courage is everything. And, it doesn't mean that you aren't nervous about something or you're not afraid of something, but, courage is everything. Anybody that made a change in the world, it started with a courageous act. Look at Rosa Parks. She's one of my heroes. She was on a bus, told that she had to get up and move. She was tired that day, and she said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And she wasn't looking for a fight that day. She wasn't looking at changing a nation. She just stuck up for herself. She did what any courageous woman should do. So I think courage definitely plays into being resilient and, sticking up for your team and growing and earning trust from people. And I think it's everything.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And Rosa Parks, she's a good example. I like it when I hear her name come up. Yeah. So moving forward, any personal growth for you? Anything that you're working on at this time?
From a personal standpoint, I am getting ready. I'm going to keep it under wraps where I'm going. I am getting ready for a major couple of day hike. And one of my best friends, we've been friends since I was 13 years old, and it's crazy. She's also one of my camping buddies. I called her and I said, "I really want to go here. Would you go here with me?" And she's like, "Absolutely." So, I kind of let myself go a little bit this winter. So, I definitely need to get my, it's mainly the endurance, thing, I'm kind of just doing the Rocky thing, getting ready to get back in the ring again and get back into shape. So that's pretty much it for me.
Well, you are pretty courageous and definitely resilient, Kirsten. So we're wrapping up, and I'd like our listeners and followers to be able to reach out to you if they'd like. What is your contact information you'd like to share with us?
Oh, thank you so much for that. So you can find me on LinkedIn, and it's Kirsten Austin. And then you can also check out my website. It's DCSC Corp. The name of my company is DCSC Inc. We're also very active on X. We have a supply chain blog on our website. So we're very active in the distribution and manufacturing community. And I'm also part of a chat that we are trying to move from X over to LinkedIn that promotes USA manufacturing. So check us out on LinkedIn, on the web, or visit us on X.
That sounds really, really good. Yeah. I'd like to thank you for coming on and just being authentic and transparent. And especially, you know, being a woman, you know, a more mature woman, there's so many listeners out there, women who are dissatisfied with their lives. And this show is not just dedicated to women, but I just know I work with a lot of women that are dissatisfied. And so when they hear stories like yours, Kirsten, just one day,